Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Zoe and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
617-779-0985. Celtics bounced back last night. Marcus Smart in the starting lineup.
Did you get your tree up yet?
I've been struggling to do that the last couple of days.
Jim, you get your tree up?
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Your kids excited? Very excited?
Yeah.
You threw them that bone, was that Wednesday night?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Elves arrived. It's good.
My kid noticed that today. The elf didn't move.
Oh.
I'm like, worst.
He must have been bad yesterday. He must have been bad yesterday.
Do you do the stuff with your elf? Like you put the marshmallows on the...
I don't do anything with the elf.
Marshmallows on the...
I don't touch the elf. Why would you touch the elf?
You put them on a
you touch
a
the
pencil.
Elf. You touch.
They have them lift weights.
You touch the elf. The elf loses its magic powers, though.
Grab one of those Barbies from down in the basement. There's the elf and Barbie.
I don't
right
touch
over
the
there
elf.
Doing
do you
stuff.
Touch the elf?
No.
No.
God. Can't touch the elf.
Can't touch the elf. Can't touch the elf.
What's your elf's name?
Elf.
It's just called Elf?
The Elf.
The Elf.
Max.
You
Max.
Your elf.
Max.
Beetle?
I don't name it. The kids name it.
Yeah, our kids named it Francis. What a weird name.
Hold on.
It's one of my kids' middle names, but I don't know how that all came to
Carl.
Be.
Carl.
Yeah, right? Like
Hardy, what movie?
Look at the baby Carl.
Hardy, what movie am I thinking of? Jesus, Francis. Was it the fighting?
No, you're thinking of.
Well, it could be. It could be
the fighting McCullough or the brothers. What's the
oh, that's
name?
Right. That's right.
Who's a good
Francis
movie?
And Stripes.
Yeah, you punch
she's
like
the
a
one.
Girl, Francis. Get off him.
She's the one.
Yes, she's the one. Good movie.
Yeah.
Cute movie.
But it could have been Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Hey, you saw Pee-wee had a...
It could have been Stripes. A lot of Francis.
That's right. You had a Pee-wee marathon the other day.
It's on Netflix, dude.
Didn't that creep you out?
Every episode's on
it
Netflix.
It does. That show was so weird.
You go back and watch Pee-wee Herman's Playhouse now? Like, that dude had issues, man.
I tried to get my kids to watch it.
Good show.
And, yeah,
no interest. It's a good show.
I know Beatles kids are obsessed with it, but yeah. I tried to get my daughter to watch it. And
it's on Netflix.
Yeah, she just rolled her eyes, and she said, I can't believe you watched this. I said, yeah.
Oh, she's grown up now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
617-779-0985. Let's get some of your football calls. Pete's in Delaware on Baker.
All right.
What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was thinking about it. You know, there's no downside for Baker Mayfield. The people in Cleveland love him. And, look, they wanted to hire, you know, they brought up Condoleezza Rice last week, so the organization told you what they thought of Hugh Jackson to begin with. And let's be honest, guys. At least he's honest and tells you what he thinks about the coach that got fired, unlike LeBron, who would get his coaches fired and blame someone else. So, to me, there's no downside for this guy, at least in Cleveland. So,
if you get angry at Baker Mayfield about anything, I would roll my eyes more at the, you know what, I woke up this morning, you know what I felt? I felt dangerous. Like, that's cheeseball-y, okay? That's not real. You don't wake up and say, ooh, I feel dangerous, watch out today and play my ass off today. This stuff is real. Hugh Jackson is a losing head coach. He had a losing culture in that locker room. He actually came to a podium. I'll never forget this. Last year when they broke some records, do you know how hard it is to lose as many games as we've lost in a row? That takes someone special to be part of this and be the head of this, to be able to come in every day and try and come out here and win a game next week. I'm like, this guy's a moron. You sit there and you watch him throughout a hard knocks, and you just like, that's everything that's wrong about the Cleveland Browns. And that thing is gone now. Baker Mayfield is enjoying that it is gone. It's like we have a winning culture now. We're good. We're going to play hard. We're going to play hard for Greg Williams now. Probably not the next guy, but he'll probably be defense coordinator there. I'd keep him. They got a young, fast defense. I'd keep him.
Connor is in Newburyport. Connor.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Love your
How
show.
You?
Good, man. So with Russ coming back, I wonder what that does for the Pats backfield and how much that moves the Patriots' offensive needle. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that it helps in the regard that you won't be seeing why am I blanking? James White running in the red zone. Enough of that already.
Right.
Stop that. Does it move the needle? Yeah, and a little bit. It does, but you know why I think it would move the needle? Is because of the passing game, not because of the running game. Passing game aspect of Rex Burkhead excites me because he can do it all. The only thing question with is, can he stay healthy? No idea.
Yeah.
He hasn't really stayed healthy at any point in his career. He's always seemed to have injury problems his entire career. Lou in Marshfield on the Waddle.
You can hear the podcast.
You know Lowell was talking about Lou? Lou hung up on us. That's not good. Bob in Middleborough and Sony Michelle. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, you know, I think Sony Michelle is awesome, but I get a feeling just from listening, not so much with this show, but some of the other shows on this channel, that a lot of people kind of think he's like really average or just kind of a product of the system. But when I see him run, and maybe you can help me out on this, I think he has awesome field vision. He has tremendous field vision, ability to just kind of see the holes, hit them. He's not really like special in the sense that he's going to run everybody over or he's going to make, you know, moves on everybody. But his vision, to me, is unbelievably good. I just want to see what your take is on him.
He's really good at picking his spots. I think he's a fantastic between the 20s runner, meaning out in the field. You know, the cutback ability. Like, he's finally started to see him pop things out the backside. You know, some guys are so young that you take the coaching and you think, okay, I got to stay with the fullback. And wherever the fullback goes, that's where I got to go. There were two or three times that he popped off big runs where he went away from Devlin, even though he had it walled off, because he could see it's walled off, it's blocked, but there's actually something more backside, and that's the vision that you do see him have. Yeah, he's not great down and tight. That's where he's got to get better. He's got to find out a way where, okay, if it's third and inches or we're down in goal line and we're running a power off right guard, right tackle, I've got to be able to elevate, go up and over, or I've got to be able to lower my shoulder and find a way to get it over that goal line, punch it in. He could do it out in the field on third short because he could get the ball out in submarine up underneath. But he's got to be a better inside the five back, if that makes any sense. And I think you can learn that by being a pro. You know, Zeke Elliott's a different type back. He's a power back. He's going to be good in situations. He'll run to the pylons.
You want a good stat on Sony Michel?
Sure.
From Sunday, 67 of his 133 yards came after contact in that game. Whew. That from Evan Lazar on Twitter yesterday.
That's a really good day.
He forced 6 missed tackles on the ground, currently leads the NFL in week 12 in that regard.
Wow.
So I think the vision thing at Georgia was terrific. I don't think it's the same here. Spent a little time on this pregame on Sunday, and Chris Gasper said, don't forget the Patriots in their coaching sort of reprogram their running backs when they get to the NFL level. And there is no gambling. There is no taking, you know, 2 yards back to
right.
Go 6 more forward.
There's no fumbling.
It's all downhill.
It is known here. Yep.
Even if you're 6 yards, you know, even if you've got a 6 yard gain, you cannot risk turning that into a 4 yard gain for the possibility of picking up even 10 more yards. It's just not what they want you doing. All positive yards, no negative plays, no negative yards. At any point in the play, you run forward, you put your head down.
This is what they are.
And when you meet the contact, you try and push through it, or you go to the ground.
This is what they are. This is going to be their identity. As long as he stays healthy to mix in Burkhead here, he and Burkhead are going to be able to give you the first and second down stuff. It's going to allow White to concentrate on the third down and the closing out of games. But you're going to be a run team here. They're going to beat their heads against the wall to make sure that they can establish the run, because that opens up their play-action game. That's what makes it easier to get the ball to Hogan, to Gronkowski, to all those guys. So this is their identity. This is what was forming prior to the injury in Chicago. Run him, run him, run him. And he's strung together 300-yard games, and bang, here you are again. Kid's fully healthy now. I know the Jets are the Jets. Let's see what he can do against a good front that the Vikings have this week. If you could go out and push this Vikings front around, full health up front, that'll be pretty impressive. Then you're off and running. No pun intended.
Oh.
Yeah.
See what you did there. Yeah. No pun intended. 617-779-0985. We promised you a shark update today.
Yeah. What is this? I've not heard anything about the shark.
Possible preventative measure.
Ooh.
You like that, right? Yeah. You don't want to get bit by a shark.
Explosives. Yes.
Not explosives. The VSIN or the VSIN action update is brought to you by the all new Sportsbook Rhode Island at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels. Up and running, I see. Doing big things yesterday. The only places in New England.
Yeah.
You can legally bet on sports.
Everybody's got it all over Facebook, too. I'm seeing everybody's tickets. They're already putting in bets. They're like, it is here, baby. Our bets are laid out for the NFL this week.
It's all powered by William Hill. Get details right now at sportsbookri.com.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This isn't even original jazz music. He got a knockoff.
This is a bit of a knockoff.
It's terrible.
Way to go.
It's like one of Jim's sound effects.
Yeah, got a knockoff. This is like a cartoonish one, right?
Now, cheap version.
Hey, listen, it may be November. We're almost into December. This is not the time of year you're typically thinking about sharks.
No, I am.
Let me read from the Cape Cod Chronicle.
Cape Cod.
Cape Cod Chronicle.
That's like
Cape
our off, that's like we had the Bruins off-season version of Zombie Nation. That's like these sharks, you know, off-season.
Off-season like shark that. Music. Yeah,
I like
I get
that.
What you're saying. This is from Tim Wood, who writes for the Cape Cod Chronicle.
Wood.
Yes, the guy's name is Wood.
Go ahead. I have Tim Wood.
You've now offended anybody out there who's got the same last name. Congratulations. He writes, byline here from Chatham. This is with public safety.
Chatham's a honey spot.
Yeah, well, yeah. He says, with public safety, their top priority. Selectmen voted, and this goes back a couple of weeks. We didn't know about this until it was covered by Fox 25 in recent days. Excuse me, Boston 25 News, that is. Selectmen voted to investigate ways to set up a net or other barrier around the swimming area, that is, at Oyster Pond Beach to keep out both seals and sharks.
Sounds lovely there, though. That's an Oyster Pond. It's like a protected pond beach. Inlet. Sounds like an inlet-type beach.
Yeah, it sort of is. You know, just by looking at this right here, this picture, I don't know if that's where it is. Oof. What?
Not nice.
It says, nothing is off the table, including culling the gray seal population. I don't think the selectmen voting in Chatham are going to be able to overturn federal law, but keep it on the table. Sure. The chairman of the selectmen, Dean Nicastro, said, I'm not sure this goes far enough, voicing concern about the impact to property values and the region's economy following the September shark attack death of a boogie boarder in Wellfleet, two non-fatal shark attacks this summer, and the proliferation of seals, whose presence often necessitates the closing of popular town beaches.
Seals ruin everything.
So now they're talking about sharks. They're considering adding nets to keep the sharks and seals out of one local beach.
I think you have to.
Okay. Since Oyster Pond is located just down the road from Chatham's town center.
Would you still get in water?
And while the beach is technically inland, the pond is fed through Stage Harbor from the Atlantic Ocean south of Cape Cod.
As much as now you may say this or that about Greg Scommell, Scommell's on record saying that, and he said it's the end of the summer. He goes, we are very aware when we go swimming. He says, I will go in the water with my kids. You do not go into the water where it's above your waist. He said, once you get into chest deep water, playing with house,
you're in trouble at that point.
You're in trouble. He said it's to the point now where you got to be aware that these things are there.
Okay, so you just mentioned the seals. Just yesterday, after you were talking about this at First Beetle, There was an editorial in the Globe about the MMPA, which is the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which way back like in the 70s.
72, I believe.
Yeah. Decided to put these seals on their marine mammal protection list. But it's not like the endangered species list where you can come off. It's like, nope, they're protected in perpetuity.
Why is that?
But they need to, well, the whole editorial was about they got to go back in and change this so that they can reconsider what is a healthy size seal population and what can be done. Now, it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to start a seal hunt or anything, but they're put on this list, on this protected marine mammal list, and there's no way to get off. And after that, it just keeps growing and growing to the point where you got all these seals now, and there's all the sharks coming back because they're all the seals. And it's what you've been saying all along, though. It's what I've said. Felker said it's the seals.
You got to get rid of the seals. And they got to go in and reassess this.
But they can't get rid of the seals because they're under this MMPA, which is, it's not like an endangered species thing where you can move them from endangered to protected to, nope, fine, healthy population. Nope, they are just, they have got like unlimited protection now. And there's I don't think there's any way of changing it unless
they weren't even there 25 years ago. They weren't there 25, 30 years ago. So now the landscape has changed here. So now all of a sudden, don't you kind of got to reset a little bit as human beings and understand it? Okay, we got an issue here. You need to correct an issue. There's a reason there's a deer hunting season. They don't want all those deer going crazy out there. There's a reason deer aren't protected. So, there's a reason you can go out and you can fish for big game tuna only certain times, and you have a limit.
Great. What about the nets? Tuna. You in or out on the nets?
I'm in on nets.
Yeah, of course you are.
Big time.
Gotta be in on the nets.
Are you in or out?
I'm in on the nets.
Who wouldn't be in on the net?
Well, I don't know. Beetle was very anti-net when it was at Fenway Park. So the Fenway Park nets, thumbs down. Shark nets, thumbs up.
Beetle's not underwater looking left and right through nets to where sharks are.
I've slowly come around on the nets at Fenway, but if we're up to me, I'd be out on those nets and in on the nets in the Atlantic Ocean.
Would you take the nets from Fenway Park and put them in the ocean?
I think that'd be a beautiful way to repurpose them.
If that was the only way of getting nets in the ocean, would you take them down at Fenway?
Oh, yeah. So instead of being like, do you want a bear or a shark? Do you want a baseball off the face or a shark bite? Give me the baseball off the face.
Okay.
I don't want a baseball.
So as many things bad that could be said about you about being pro 3-year-old girl getting smashed in the face with a baseball, at least you are anti getting eaten by a great white shark.
Oh, yeah, nobody deserves that.
I do think there are other ways that you could handle this seal thing. Like when you're down in the Cape and you say you buy a salt box or a house,
you know, there's
a fixer upper.
There's over 500,000 seals in the North Atlantic, and there's about 30,000 of them here in Massachusetts. Okay. So you know that if you kill these seals, there's just going to be another 30,000 that show up.
But at least you get another little 20-year respite until they all figure it out, these dumbasses.
They're just going to come back.
All I'm saying is, say you get a little property down the Cape, and you have this little tree that's blocking your view to the water, but that's sort of one of those protected trees, which they do have down there. Sometimes in the middle of the night, those trees disappear. That's all I'm saying. That tree was there yesterday. Where did that tree go?
I'm sorry, what?
Somebody stole our tree.
Down trees in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
For views?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, it's a big deal for the conservationists. Like we get this one wacko down there that lives off the land. He's like, he's into everything. Like, oh, we can't do this or that or that. Can't touch that plant. I think he looks for excuses not to weed his grass or his garden because it's indigenous. And, you know, we're protecting these flowers and that one tree's protected, blocking that old lady's view from up the street.
So he's the type of guy that lets weeds grow because they were natural.
But there are certain trees that are protected along the seashore there that
weeds off my grass.
They want to keep, but sometimes those trees disappear. It's all middle of the night. That tree was there. Bam, sucker's gone next day. Where the hell did that tree go?
So they do it in the middle of the night, though, under the cover of darkness.
Yeah, just head down the winter, start chopping now.
Oh, the winter time, yep, could do that too.
It's like shining
down there right
that's
now.
A time-honored tradition, taking down trees in the middle of the night so people don't get upset. They do it at golf courses
so that the
lot.
Environmental police
they did
don't
it at,
show up on you.
They
you
know did it saying? At Oakmont years ago before the U.S. Open was there. They took down 2,000 trees to make the course more playable, but they had to do it in the middle of the night so people wouldn't lose their minds and start protesting. They would just kind of wake up the next morning and go, huh. I thought I remembered there being more trees on the eighth hole.
There's more shade here last
time. It's weird.
We were here.
Strange. Huh.
But just so you know, this is now a possibility. They're discussing the Nets. The Nets sound like a silly idea on the surface, right? It just sounds
no,
silly.
No.
But if you
why wouldn't you have a net?
If you go look at the statistics of how they've been used in Australia for decades now, how the number of shark attacks has decreased sharply from the point where they started using the nets, you might get to a point where you say, well, if we use the nets here, we won't have any shark attacks. Because they have a lot of them there, a lot more than we've had. So, telling you, do a little research on the nets. Nets are a good idea. Probably not cheap.
I think they do
cost
have
a lot of money.
I think they have an old Silver Beach, which faces, you know, outwards towards Buzzard Bay and toward the Vineyard Net. But, you know, that's a ocean-facing beach. So, I think they already have those nets up, those swim nets. You never know when those suckers
go. You sure it's just not the rope with the buoys on it to tell you, like, where the deep end is?
Yeah, I think it is that. I just like to think they're nets because that's where I might want to swim. You know what I mean? You go to swimmer. You want your kids to swim in a safe spot. And I think the nets would alleviate some of the parents' concerns for kids.
Tom Brady with Jim Gray last night revealed quite a bit about his injury status. We'll get to that sound with Brady and Gray and your calls next.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Tom, you were sick the day before you played in the game against the Jets in New York, and then the 2 days before that, you missed practice. How is your general health, and what was the reason for you missing practice with your knee?
Yeah, I'm certainly doing better this week. We had, you know, the game against Tennessee where I got a little nicked up and then had the bye week and was hoping to have a full week of practice, and it just didn't allow for it. So I think a lot of NFL players are nursing things at this point. You know, I'm nursing a couple little things and I'm feeling a lot better. A little flu's been going around, but I'm feeling better, and hopefully, you know, I really turned the corner with my knee here this week.
Tom Brady with Jim Gray talking about where he's at, choosing to play. Talking about the knee, sounds more hurt than he really, maybe we already thought he was.
You know what's interesting is when I talked to Brady for All Access, that was during the bye week. And he said one of the things he prided himself on was not missing any practice time. So he probably didn't think that you were going to get into the next week and he was really going to miss any time, which he did. He ended up missing some time before the Jets game. Because he even alluded to, you know, we thought it would respond differently. It didn't. So we had to deal with it. So that thing really, really stiffened up on him for a good 2 weeks then. And he didn't leave for the bye. He didn't go anywhere. So he got that thing worked on here pretty good. So it's go time. That's what you got to do, man. You got to stick around. You got to do everything you can to get yourself up and running. Stay off your feet. And he was dealing with a cold at the end of last week, like everybody is.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel awful. That'll make your knee hurt worse.
Nagging. I'd like to blow my nose right now, but that'd be rude on the
no,
air.
No, what, here? You know?
Can we,
no,
shut, just,
yeah.
We shut my mic off?
Yeah, just shut it off. I'll keep talking because I blew mine during the break. Yeah. And it's just, it's like you become a constant mouth breather this time of year. Like,
well, it's the worst.
Everything, like, it's like, you got to talk, you got to inhale.
Yeah, you're starting to get a little, little stuffy.
And then the worst part for us,
it's a terrible time of year,
is it's four straight hours of nonstop talk. You know, and be peppy and be energy guy. And let's go, you know, and I'm like all that.
How many hours did you sleep when you got home yesterday?
Oh, like 2.5. But the problem was then you wake up and you're like, oh my God, where am I? And then you're like, holy Jesus, the third quarter's over.
I called you last night and it wasn't that late and you were already in bed.
It was just like, oh.
Tell you what time I called, and you were already done.
It was during a game. It was during a game.
It was.
It was during a Monday night game.
8:22.
Yeah,
you had already passed out.
Yeah, so I didn't wake up until like the end of the third quarter, and I'm like, holy Jesus, what happened?
We got one more clip. We got one more clip of Brady that we want to play. Let's play it.
Hey, play it.
Play
Brady.
When you say nicked up, is this something that only not playing football will heal, so every week this is suspect and prone because it just won't get the required rest? Or is this something that can heal during the season?
It can definitely heal, but I would say, you know, my take on injuries is, you know, you're really susceptible every time you go out. You can go out, you could be a little nicked up, and if you get hit again, it could make it worse. But the reality is you could wait for it to get fully healthy, and then go out and take a hit and get hurt again. Really, you know, if I can play, you know, that's what I'm going to always prefer to do, and that's what I've always done, realizing that there are risks that come with playing when you're not fully healthy or things aren't fully healed, but, you know, that's just part of the nature of the game. And I think in many ways it would hurt me more to not be playing and watching than it would be to dealing with whatever I'm dealing with. So, you know, I love making the choice to play, and I'm glad we got a win against really a division rival. And playing in New York and winning there is always important for our team. So it's just a great team win.
It would hurt me more to play than it would for me to go out and play.
It would hurt me more to sit.
Well, what did I say?
Yeah, play. It hurt me more to play. What are we talking about?
Yeah, no, it would hurt me more to have to sit there and watch it than for me to go out and physically do it, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a lot, you know, a lot of messaging here about playing hurt at this time of year, and that's just what you have to do.
Remember, who was the other tight end? Scott Chandler, right, that they got from
Buffalo?
From Buffalo.
Yeah.
Now, this is a couple of years back, but I remember that game in Houston. We were playing the Texans, and I remember Brady being over the top postgame about Gronkowski there, like, oh, man, he really sucked it up. And like, we didn't really think he could go, but he ended up going. And it helped us tremendously because Chandler had nothing, gave you nothing at that point. He was already done. And they had injuries across the board. And Brady was very complimentary for Rob pushing through it and, you know, playing with the injury. Again, we all make choices. You know, I'm glad I made the choice to play. That is a specific word. I don't ever remember that. Well, it's either coach clears you to play or he doesn't. You know, it's coach's decision, right? Why'd you play Malcolm Butler? Coach's decision. You know, Bill, get the question. Why isn't so-and-so active? Coach's decision. Do what's best for the team.
That Texans game was December 13th. That was about 2 weeks after the joint statement came out. Remember the day David Price signed with the Red Sox? The joint statement came out between Gronk and the agent and the team?
Yes.
About the injury and the why he wasn't. Yeah.
So he got hurt. He got cut down in Denver, and we thought it was season ender, and it wasn't. Right?
And then 2 weeks later, he's playing against Texans, and Brady says that stuff.
Like, I know what Rob's – I know what Rob's playing through, and for him to play today, it was awesome. And for him to push through, it means everything to us. And here we are how many years later still.
But now here you are with reports from last Wednesday that got sort of buried right before Thanksgiving from – or Tuesday, I guess, Bedard, and Wednesday, Giardi, talking about Gronk having just chosen not to play.
Right.
That he could have played. He just was choosing not to. In recent weeks, before the bye.
Yeah. Interesting.
It is interesting. And if that is what's going on, I also want to know why. Maybe there's a really good reason. Maybe it's because I want to make sure I can get to the finish line, and I don't think I'll be able to if I keep playing.
And he's obviously, meaning Rob, not hitting any of those attainable bonuses that we thought were going to be easily attained, right? If he was on pace and he had the same type of production that he had last year. But there was some change in the attitude here, and, you know, old Gronk's being back, sort of the happy-go-lucky Gronk and not serious Gronk. Something changed over the last 3 weeks. You know, when you said, hey, maybe they said, hey, we're gonna shut you down for a while. Don't worry about the money. You end up getting the money, okay?
Yeah.
But you know what this is about. We're not in it here to win divisions. Yeah, we are here to win divisions, but we're here to get a bye. We're here to play for an AFC title. We're here to play for a Super Bowl championship. That's what we do. We contend every year. We got to make sure you're right at money time. What do you got?
I'm just laughing at our calls that are on the board currently.
Oh, why?
They're all over the place.
Like what?
In like the best way possible.
Where's that Deb and Quincy? Is she there?
We got shark calls. We're going to get to those.
Good.
Seals and sharks. Patriots offense or defense, what are we more concerned with? Prediction on the Super Bowl. And there is John in Vegas.
I'll take John in Vegas at the top when we come back.
Okay, we'll do it on the other side.
I like John.
All right, we'll do all these calls. We'll get to all of them coming up next.
Bye.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Go to John Vegas now.
Yeah, because real quick here, put a little backstory to it.
Yeah,
there's pictures up on the internet, social media,
Twitter,
that the great Andy Wong from the Kowloon restaurant brought a big food drop to the studios.
Just brought people some food today.
I mean, it wasn't Tom Morgan or Jimmy Stewart that tweeted it out. It was Mike Sarge Riley.
Like he's like a PR guy for Andy.
I tweeted back like, what are you doing in studio? Can you last one day without taking your freaking picture with Andy Wong? And not that Andy Wong would even drive it down.
Sarge
himself.
Just walked into the studio with his headphones like he's going on the air.
Now, John in Vegas is on the air. Oh, he's online.
Online.
He's on hold. He's
and
on
by
online.
The way, just so we have this all
Mark
clear.
Mark and I have requested that since he's in there kissing Kowloon's ass, you know, giving them the Sarge salute of the day.
Sarge salute.
Sarge salute of the year, pal. Get it right.
Okay, listen. Big Jim Murray picked up the food, drove it in here. Sarge showed up, even though he's not working today.
For a free meal.
To take pictures and eat food. He's walking around saying, no charge from the Sarge. Like it's his restaurant that he just comped lunch.
No charge from the Sarge?
It's getting to the... I'm looking at you as I say this, Sarge. It's getting insufferable.
What does that even mean, no charge from the Sarge?
Now, right?
You get a free meal. Doesn't food taste better when it's free?
Yes, thank you, Andy Wong.
You didn't give it to anybody.
Made a
Thank
phone call.
Thank you, Andy Wong, who is a friend of yours.
How much have you lived off his tip? I mean, like, man, this dude is a friend of you. How many years and years of tickets? Yep, he's your sugar daddy, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I mean, he's up there. So my idea, Mark's idea, was to put Sarge in studio to bring, let's let him have it out with John in Vegas. And Hardy said, no.
Yeah, I'm with Hardy. I'm sorry.
So what? You're going to get up and leave
so
now?
What are you doing on air right now anyway?
I got a meeting here today.
Going anywhere.
I got a meeting here today. No, I got a meeting here. That's for undisclosed information. So you'll be hearing about it soon.
At 6 p.m.
Yeah, right.
Pictures of other people's checks.
We'll be hearing about it soon?
Yeah, you'll see. Never say never.
Put them up. Pot them up.
What are you, taping a podcast back there with Jay Stu?
What are you, slapping each other around, you little wrestling singlets?
John is in Vegas.
At WrestleCast.
What's up, John?
Hey, guys, I know I've pranked your show a number of times, but I believe it or not, I come in peace and to extend the olive branch.
What do you have to do that?
I don't think any olive branch needs to be extended.
No.
Well, see, I've been meeting with the Sarge Council, and they are planning on declaring formal war against your show.
Why?
Because it pisses you off, Beetle, to be honest.
Yeah,
no. I love it.
It gets sort of annoying. Yeah, it does.
No, I think we but all enjoy it when it goes on other shows.
But it hasn't happened in a while now.
No, I like it on our show.
So there is a building storm. The waters are not safe, Beetle, and the council has given me two demands. If you guys can meet these two demands, there will be no war and there will be peace.
Okay, what are the demands?
Typically don't negotiate with terrorists, but go ahead, John.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
Sorry, not talking to you. Okay, demand number one.
This guy just wants Stetson Bennett's a fame. He's unbelievable. He's got like no
just
life.
Told you.
He listens to the radio all the time. It's hysterical. I love it.
All right, let's hear the demands.
John Tool Vegas. That's his full name.
Jesus, turn his mic off.
I swear to God, I beg of you, Tom.
I
didn't bother you.
No, it's awesome. I love it. Thank you, Johnny.
So you don't love it. I can tell the tone in your voice.
Oh, I love it. Bring it on, baby.
You're lying.
Shut up, so. Take your glasses off.
It sounds like it doesn't bother you at all, Sarge, for sure.
No, I love it, man. This is great.
Anyway.
You're the man, Johnny. I love you, buddy.
Demand number one. Yeah. Your show needs to have at least a monthly Sarge Sucks segment in which you play your favorite calls.
Yeah. Well, wait, which calls, though? Calls of people saying Sarge sucks?
Any Sarge calls. From other shows. National shows, just your favorite, a little.
I think we already do that. Yeah, I think we've already covered ourselves, at least for this month.
Well, then that shouldn't be a problem. And demand two should be very simple. All three of you, Mark, Scott, Robert, all three of you, say on air, admit that Sarge sucks on the radio and all this will end.
I feel threatened by the use of our first names.
Yeah.
Scott.
Isn't it creepy?
Robert.
On Sarge's birthday, I gave you the gift that no one else can ever give you.
Yeah.
With 10 minutes left in my show, I got up and walked out.
No, about five.
No, 2 minutes. Not 10.
But Zoe, you forgot the week after you did it again. You and Beetle both walked out, and I hit it out of the park. And you know it.
Hit it out of the park?
No, you didn't, because Jim had to sit through it.
No, he didn't. I hit it out of the park. I filled the whole time, and it was the best damn radio we've had all year. So you're welcome for the ratings.
Oh, that, that
I'm happy to help out the station with the ratings.
Where does that ego come from?
Well, hey, listen, you can thank Johnny.
Jeez.
What wedding are you playing this weekend? What are you doing this weekend? What do you got? What do you got lined up?
I got a private event on Friday night.
Christmas party's coming. You got bar mitzvah.
I got a private event Friday night.
Yeah, we got a private engagement on Friday.
Yes. Yep. Beetle knows about that. Yeah. You got
first and 10 at the 35.
Hey, Sarge.
That was 8 years ago, man.
Give me a little bit of that score, your collar guy.
Oh, by the way, you know what? Sosie's here right now. Maybe he could grade it.
Oh, I don't think you want to do that.
No, don't put him on the spot.
Why? He's a pro.
Really don't.
Because he's going to be honest.
He's the pro. The pro.
Probably don't need your help in coming up.
Thank you, Sarge.
Thanks, Sarge.
Dead ideas.
No charge. We'll see you guys.
No charge.
We'll save you a plate.
John in Vegas is making demands now.
Oh yeah, that's God. A little creepy.
How about he told him, shut up, turn your mic off.
Yeah, I wasn't talking to you, sorry. John in Stoughton. John.
Hi, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, yeah, just real quick. The reason that they protected the seals is basically because back in the day, they used to hunt them all the time.
Yeah,
and there was literally like...
through this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was less than 100.
As to how we could remove them.
Here's the problem.
Well, in Finland and Sweden, they hunt them. They just do it at like a kind of like deer season. But
right.
The question is, who around here is going to go out there and start clubbing seals? You know what I mean? Like, you start doing that, next thing you know, there's going to be a million YouTube views about, oh, we need to protect the seals. I mean, there's a lot of them, but there's a healthy way of dealing with it.
I would say clubbing is abrasive.
Here's the issue, though.
Yeah, the baby seals I can see, but
evidence.
The bigger ones. Not a problem with.
You need evidence that culling the seal population will actually make a difference with the sharks, and no one can provide that evidence.
You see, and that's where the guy in the editorial in the Globe yesterday stopped short, and he was from an organization called SAC. It was the Seal Action Committee and something else with like Nantucket fishermen or something, where it's like,
squid.
This doesn't mean that it's going to be an all-out, seal hunting. Well, what does it mean? You're not going to protect them anymore,
right.
What exactly does it mean?
What, are you going to safely catch them in cages and move them to other
Where'd
parts?
You say he was from? SAC?
SAC.
The Seal Action Committee, Beetle.
Seal Action Committee. Like, that's
I'm here representing
SAC.
Yeah,
check me out. I got my new SAC emblem on the side of my sleeve and my jacket. I'm the treasurer of the
Cordell Patterson should be the spokesperson.
Oh, very good, Jim.
Disrespectful.
That's very good, Jim.
It's disrespectful. What's not funny?
Jim tried to make a sack joke because he grabbed his sack.
Yeah, no, it's a little... he tried.
Isn't that also Strategic Air Command? I learned that from... what's the movie with Matthew Broderick? War Games. Isn't that called sack?
Isn't there something you can put in water?
Yeah.
Like, you
the
know...
boat?
Not red tide, but sometimes you get these fish
floating line.
Around and all of a sudden there's all these dead fish.
Buoy?
Bleach?
Orcas. You can put an orca in.
Put a bunch of orcas in the water?
Yeah, wow. Let's put those suckers 10 feet offshore.
A little football item for Zoe coming back in 90 seconds on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And I have a gripe. I have a college football gripe I want to get.
College football issue that Zoe has. And I see some good calls on the board, including a Super Bowl prediction. I want to hear a Super Bowl prediction. Well, that sort of piqued my interest. Do that all coming up right after these headlines.
All right.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.